Welcome to our podcast. This is Victor Fonov, and I'm the lead pastor here at Whitefields Church. Our focus is to help you grow relationally and spiritually. Enjoy the message.
God is doing so many amazing things. You say, oh, we can't take it anymore, Lord. We just can't stop winning, Lord. Hallelujah. Just can't take it. God is on the move, amen, and his glory is evident. And just all throughout just this nation, I'm so thankful that we have prophets among ourselves that go forth and send. We're just so blessed to have Nancy in our midst, not only that, a servant of God, just serving people that you would never think. And it's amazing that God has placed us here for a purpose, and every one of us has a mission. It's amazing because as my glory is being poured out right now, sons and daughters, upon the face of the earth, and I tell you, it's going to be poured out even more. And you can sense that there's an urgency in your spirit. There's something that just is craving more and more. And I just challenge you. I'll do my best. There's only so much that a pastor can do. I'll do my best to lead us into prayers, into like, hey, let's go, let's press in. But it's ultimately my responsibility. Nobody is going to be responsible for my relationship with God besides me. Amen? So it's very important that to press in, because you can definitely miss. A person can be standing in the same sanctuary where the glory of God is being poured out, and one person can just stand like this. Your posture of your heart is closed, and Lord does not force himself into our life, right? But I love that it says, I'm shaking the powers of darkness. And it's so evident right now. We can see that just on the realm of just on the sphere of just what's happening in our nation. It's just a lot of the darkness that's being eradicated. And I'm like, Lord, this is your mercy. This is your land. So I urge you, as we pray for our governor, I urge you to pray for President Trump. And it's amazing to see what God is doing. Amen. So we're being fed. Amen. And last week, my goodness, my dear friend Michael, man, if you were not here last week, I urge you, go online and review a message and listen to it either on YouTube or always on podcasts on all the platforms. Our messages are available. And it's just amazing because obviously it's evident that Michael has such a gifting in teaching. But pretty much it seemed like he took us through the whole Bible, connecting the dots about the day of the Lord that is near. It is a very fearful thing, but it's as Christians, it's like the glory of God. When you're walking with God, you have nothing to be afraid of. Amen. So I'm excited for his next installments as he dives in into more deeper stuff in the near future. Hallelujah. And I want to open up with Matthew 18, verse 21, 22. Felt prompted in my spirit to minister that. And so with time given, I just believe we're going to receive from the Lord. I just urge you to prepare your heart. Don't look at your clock. And we'll be here till 3:00. All right? Matthew 18. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Upon 7 times? I like how he just came up with the number. 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times. Those were your words, but up to 70 times 7. But he takes his number and he multiplies it, and he says pretty much 490 times, right, if you do math. What did Jesus mean when he said that to Peter, when he said that, you know? And I believe it's about talking about living a forgiving and a repentant life. On a continuous basis, right? Forgiving others. It pretty much turns into a lifestyle. Because what did Jesus say on the Calvary cross as this was happening? Remember, he said, Father, forgive them. Jesus had made so many profound things in his life. And just at the very last night, you know, before he was betrayed, he was washing their feet. And then what are the words that he's saying as he's already on the cross? He's like, Lord, forgive them. Forgive them. There's such power in forgiveness. And so if you want to reduce your arguments or become unoffendable, walk in a forgiving heart. Now, it's easier said than done, right? But let me tell you this. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuous. It's a lifestyle. It's just continuously forgiving. And in the light of what Jesus forgave us today, especially as we, Pastor Robert led us into communion very powerfully, I want to talk about today, forgive to be forgiven. I think just that's the gospel in itself right there in that title of the message, forgive and be forgiven, right? Yeah. And just pray, Father, I pray that this word speaks to all of us today profoundly, Lord. We love you, we praise you. And I just pray that, Lord, we walk out of here different than the way we came in, with a different mindset as we move in the glory of God. Amen. There's this Spanish story of a father and a son who became estranged. And soon, and son ran away. And for a while, a father could not contact him, couldn't find a way to get a hold of him. And so, and then finally, in a desperate effort, the father submitted to a Madrid newspaper. And he said, maybe one day, maybe my son will read it. And this is what it said. Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. but this is so interesting. On Saturday, 800 Paco showed up looking for forgiveness. But this is pretty profound. It's pretty funny. But at the same time, 800 Paco showed up looking for forgiveness and love. So good. I mean, it's amazing because you can laugh and cry at the same time. Because it's like looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. There are countless people living in unforgiveness. I've witnessed it left and right, and the more I live, the more I realize, the more you start talking to people, the more you understand that this is the cancer that's killing faith. It's a tragedy. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses," this is Jesus speaking, "your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's a sobering thought. That's a very sobering thought, right? There's this general Oglethorpe, I think. There's a reason, I guess, why his name is like that. But he once said to John Wesley, "I never forgive and I never forget." To which Wesley replied, "Then, sir, I hope you never sin." Think about that, right? I also want to address something important. There's Christians say, "I forgive, but I never forget." Ever heard that? Maybe you said that before, okay? A few of us heard that, okay? But I think it comes out of lack of understanding what God's grace is and what God has truly done for us. Imagine if God is telling this to you, "I forgave you, but I will never forget what you did." It loses its power. It loses its anointing, amen? But it's amazing because God says in Hebrews 8:12, "For I will forgive their wickedness." This is the Lord talking to us, about us, right? "I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Huh, right? And since we're made in the image and likeness of God, that means God gave us ability to forgive others. And not only forgive, but also give ability to forget things, right? I'm not talking about sweeping it under a rug, never dealing with it, and just like, just don't talk about it. Don't ever bring him up. Don't ever talk about it. Or like, and I use this analysis because it's probably true. And then people are ditching aisles because they're trying to avoid somebody, right? Because you're not walking in the freedom. You should be walking with the righteous as bold as a lion. You're walking with your head up, right? I'm not talking about, again, sweeping it under the rug, forgetting. I'm talking about dealing with it and then living in the state of forgiveness. That means it has no hold of you, right? But when there's people that forgive, but they keep reenacting. They're like, "Oh, no, no, no." Nobody's forcing you to reestablish trust, you know, to like necessarily to spend time with them. But it gives the ability when you forgive somebody, that means you're not continuously dwelling on what has happened. What you remember immediately was like what the Lord did for me first. Yeah. Right? That's why scripture tells, take every thought captive. Doubt every thought that comes your way, right? Look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. It should be stapled in our spiritual, in our whole being. 2 Corinthians 10:5. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." And what does it say? "And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." So that means when that temptation comes, "Oh, but they did that. Remember that?" But like, and then immediately if you get into this negotiation state, you're going to relive that. And the enemy wants to keep you captive. One of the greatest, like I said, detrimental aspects or attributes of modern day Christianity is unforgiveness. And if you have not dealt with that, the Holy Spirit is challenging you today. Do that so you could live in freedom. Amen? And here's the greatest thing. It's if we don't, then the Father in heaven doesn't forgive us. Those are Jesus' words. Those aren't Vic's words. Amen? So when we constantly dwell on things, it becomes a stronghold, right? Good or bad, think about it, right? That's why David says in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" I'm not afraid of anybody, right? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So he is my stronghold, all right? The Lord, the most trustworthy stronghold, is a stronghold of God, right? His strong tower. He something that won't cave in on you. Because you run to other stronghold, you think somebody, people that will hold you up, they'll be the first one to betray you when things get challenging. When it's convenient, be like, yeah, but you did this, right? So as human beings that were born into this broken world, we easily tend to hold on to grudges, right? Not too quick to forgive people that wronged us. And we're putting other people in cages, and then we're pretty much holding on to the key, right? We're like, well, I'm going to decide when I think it's the right time for them to unlock them, to give them forgiveness. Don't wait for it. You're going to wait a lifetime. You got to learn to forgive before they even approach you, or they may not even ever ask you for forgiveness. Amen? So there's power in forgiveness. James chapter 1, verse 19, 20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Because ultimately, the devil wants to do is take away your peace. He wants to get you to angry so you can relive that and just be bound by it, right? I'm talking about when the glory of God comes. The reason I'm ministering about this message, because as the glory of God is being evidenced, being poured out, is being spoken, the Lord is saying, like, there's people left and right. I'm not pointing at fingers. I don't even know. But the Holy Spirit prompted, like, there's people, Christians, that haven't fully forgiven. Or if they did, they haven't forgotten it. And you got to learn to understand what light, since I'm made in the image of God, if God forgave me, and he said, I forgive and I will remember their sins no more. He gave you the ability to do that too. Because why? Because you're made in his likeness and his image. Amen? Come on. Only God has the wisdom and right, to know what person deserves. Because a person says, oh, they don't deserve that. Right? You hear people say that. We must never try to give people what they deserve. Because many times, we didn't deserve it ourselves. So many times. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? It's like only the Lord is in charge of that, right? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. So God takes care of those things. Right? God is in charge, right? There's even a scripture in the Bible in the New Testament says, like, let God's wrath do the job, pretty much, in other words, right? Because think about it, and we just read a Psalm of David, and if David had killed King Saul, if he just repaid him, well, he would have been just like King Saul, right? You kind of become what you fester and what you feed yourself in, right? That's why Proverbs 23:7 says, right, for as he thinks, so he is, right, a person. And then Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So technically speaking, you become what you feed your heart, right? If you're continuously reliving certain moments, or maybe you didn't, what you do is you're trying to avoid it because you never dealt with it. You never truly forgiven that person. And you're trying to figure out, why am I continuously having a stronghold in this area? Why is it that every time I see them or if I think of that person, I'm just like, I don't feel good. There's a stronghold. And it needs to be broken. Amen? Amen. Psalm 32:5 says, then I acknowledged, talking about David, what made him so amazing? What made him such an amazing king? He had flaws. But what was so amazing, how he was before the Lord. It says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Okay? And you forgave the guilt of my sin. He knew where to run. He knew that his stronghold was only in God. And when your stronghold is in God, that's where you're based on, then you can't have other strongholds. It's impossible. Because your stronghold is him. You're my strong tower. And that means I will not be shaken. God, you are my God. I acknowledge you in all of my ways. You are directing my path. Not my emotions, not my feelings. Amen? It's hard to forgive someone who you feel superior to. Because think about it. forgiveness involves humility. Yeah? So it takes humility to forgive someone, right? And ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness and unforgiveness both require a price to pay. Now, unforgiveness will cost you peace and will lead to captivity and torment. And it turns into a stronghold. Forgiveness will only cost you your pride, right? But will lead you to freedom and peace. Peace, and that surpasses all understanding. You're like, how in the world you were able to forgive that person for all that they did? Yes, because Christ has forgiven me. That's it. That's the price I'm willing to pay. It's just my pride. And ultimately, that's what we need to do. It ultimately comes down to pride. That we're like, well, that's not fair. What is fair? Demons never play by a fair book, right? But you open that door of unforgiveness and they rule there and they can stay there for as long until you forgive somebody, until you truly forgive and you say, Lord, I forgive that person. I set them free and I'm free now at last. Amen? Not what the modern culture teaches, right? It's all about self-exertion. But forgiveness is about self-renunciation. Like, I'm renouncing myself. I'm like, Lord, I must decrease so you can increase. That's what John was saying in 3:30, right? He must increase, but I must decrease. It's like, less of me, more of him. And that's what happens. And that's how you build the strong man, the spiritual man within you. And it gives you ability to continuously foster that environment of repentive heart. Right? So you can just go and flow. And that's why you're not swayed by these emotions when the devil is like, come on. Poking at you, right? You ever had one of those days where it seems like devil's on every corner? It can happen, right? Now, I'm not saying it's always devil. A lot of times we're just having a bad attitude and we need to learn to calm ourselves down and go get a cup of coffee. I don't know. Or pray and fast more. There you go. But Jesus gives a serious warning in Matthew 18 about a parable of unforgiving debtor. He brings that in light, right? So important. And says, what will happen to the person that hasn't forgiven? All right, let's look at it. Matthew 18, 32 through 35. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Means it has to be complete. From your heart. It has to be out of your bunch of your heart, right? Your mouth speaks. It means your confession will prove it. Every action will prove it afterwards. That means you're not going to be irritated by that person anymore. In fact, you're just like, I forgave that person. It has no hold of me, right? But isn't it amazing that Jesus is like, guess what? Hey, that's a light of like continuous torture. By the way, back in the day, or I would say in more of like I would say in Eastern countries, imprisonment wasn't a joke. They would have such harsh environment, they would load people with heavy yokes that they can't even either sit or lie down. It's literally you're in a continuous just torture, if you think about it. And then there's also frequent scourgings. Just all of that environment caused you to die oftentimes. And the person would suffer till he's squared away with his debt. Because, I thought about this, which is impossible to do. You're like there. How can you be busting out saving your family or your debt when you're in prison? You can't do it. You can't save others. You can't help others when you yourself are struggling with that. You cannot. But that's why, unless somebody comes and pays that price for you, right? And remembers what Jesus did for us as we were remembering, right? What he did on the cross. He canceled my debt. He went and he paid for it. I didn't deserve it. I was in bondage. I was in addiction. But realizing that only Jesus can come and pay my debt, right? And he says, I did that for you. He's putting this serious picture in your mind. It's like, guess what? And you I did this for you. And if you cannot forgive, then forget about it. I'll do my Jersey accent. You can't. You forget about heaven. He says, you can't forgive. My Father won't forgive you. I know it's a sobering word and it's a sobering thought and it's a challenging one, but I believe in order for you to experience true freedom in Christ, I'm telling you, true victory and confidence to walk in the fire of God, you have to let go. You have to forgive. You have truly say, Lord, that's it. I'm done with this. They never deserved it. Did you deserve? Did you deserve it? I didn't deserve it. I must forgive to be forgiven, right? That's just the whole gospel right there, right? How can I be in the position of forgiveness and not forgive? I want to leave with this amazing information. I've talked about it, quoted it before. I just double-checked it. But research by Dr. Michael Berry, just a world-renowned. This is not a theological research. This is non-Christian research. According to research by Dr. Michael Berry, approximately 61% of cancer patients struggle with forgiveness issues. With over half of those cases considered severe, this means a substantial portion of cancer patients grapple with unforgiveness, potentially impacting their mental and physical being due to negative emotions associated to holding on to grudges. And they talk about impact on health. Unforgiveness negatively affects patients' mental health by contributing anxiety, depression, and stress, which could potentially impact their ability to cope with their illness and treatment. And then they did the research, even going back, saying, given the potential negative effects, healthcare professionals are increasingly recognizing the importance of addressing forgiveness issues. Healthcare professionals, like, and people are like, whoa. And Jesus is like, I talked about this thousands of years ago. Isn't that amazing, right? How it works. Like, you'll be saying something as a parent to your child, but when the uncle or aunt comes in and says the same thing, they're like, wow. Pastor could be saying the same thing. Pastor Mark told me this is true. You could be ministering on something, and then a guest speaker will come in and say that same thing. Wow. I guess that's what we need sometimes, to hear it from others. So I'm like, Jesus is like, all right. And ultimately, people will realize, I'm going to give this research, right? And I'm telling you, this is something profound, right? Because Mark 11:25, again, Jesus' words, and whenever you stand praying, I'm telling you, it impacts your prayer life. Unforgiveness impacts absolutely every aspect of your life. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything, say anything. Anything. That means little, big, anything, right? Anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Come on, that's so good. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's a continuous reminder. You got to forgive because the Lord has forgiven you. Forgive, right? So you can be forgiven. That's it. The whole gospel is in the title. Forgive and be forgiven. Amen. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuous state of mind. It's when it doesn't matter what comes my way, I know how to handle it. And guess what? One of the greatest root things of a living continuous life of repentance and forgiveness, it gives you ability to overcome anger. That is your root cause, is unforgiveness, because you're easily irritated against somebody for something, right? And I'm like, Lord, how many times have I betrayed you in my life? How many times have I turned away to the things that I'm like, to my earthly pleasures, when I was like, yeah, I think this can satisfy me more than you, Lord. I've done that. But when we realize what the Lord has did for us, that he was like, you don't need to longer carry sacrifice to the temple, sheep, picking out all this, buying that price so you can go bring forth and bring sacrifice. The Lord's like, all I want is just that sincere heart, pure heart before you. And that you can lay at the altar everything that has ever, you know, blocked you, anybody that ever wronged you, and say, Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them. How can I hold something against someone when I've been forgiven so much? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you so much for your word, and it speaks life to us. And Father, I believe it's a double-edged sword, and it tells us, and it cuts through the bone and marrow, Lord. Pierce into the places that need to be pierced. Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, the whole world is looking at us. How we respond, how we forgive, how we love, how we act. Lord, I just challenge, Lord, today, at the power of the Holy Spirit, that would we, Lord, will walk out of here with a different mindset. That, Lord, forgiveness is something that attribute of every Christian, not just being because we have been forgiven, but, Lord, we're able to preach the gospel by walking in a continuous state of repentance. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, right now, you're doing your job right now, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You can have the worship music. It's okay. Go ahead. Let's just take this moment. Right now, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to every heart. And you know exactly that few people, maybe it's just that one person, you know, and especially sometimes it's hard because it could be a family member, it could be the closest one. A lot of times it's easier to forgive somebody that we don't know, but with somebody that we encounter closely that wronged us, the Lord is saying, it's time to let go. It's time to let go, my son, my daughter. It's time to let go so that I may pour out my spirit upon you. That there will be no hindrances for the power of the Holy Spirit to move through you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just demolish argument, every pretension, everything that solves itself up against what you told us, against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought. And we make it obedient to Christ. The next time devil comes in, tries to irritate us or try to remind us about our past, we're going to remind him about his future. Lord, we are your saved children, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And what can pluck away us from the love of God? Lord, no height, nor death, nor nothing, Lord Jesus. But Father, you telling us like there should be nothing that is standing in between of your power to be moving in our lives. So Lord, I just pray that every heart would be set free in this place. In Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 You need more prayer, please come up. I'm telling you, if you struggle with unforgiveness, this is your time. Come up.
Thank you for listening to our message. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, please visit whitefieldsalaska.com. Thank you.